Hebrews 4, 14, 15, and 16. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. We're going to look at this last phrase here and find grace to help in time of need, and then we're going to apply it to the preceding verses. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this opportunity, Lord, to preach your word. God, I pray in the name of Jesus Christ that you would work in the heart of every person that's here today. Lord, whether or not we're really struggling with something, or maybe we are just fighting you, we're deluded, and everything seems calm. We're supposed to be fighting something, and we're not. We're running from it. And Lord, I pray that you would draw us to yourself. Have your will and your way done in the heart of each person today. Lord, help me to use the time wisely, and I pray that you would speak to hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. It is an unusual thing for someone to be able to approach a throne boldly. Normal thing. If Queen Elizabeth said we could come to Buckingham Palace and approach her, I don't think any of us would approach boldly. But here we see the Lord is telling us, commanding us, to bring our requests, bring our problems to Him boldly. The word boldly means all with all outspokenness, with frankness, with bluntness, with publicity. It means to have a freedom in speaking, unreservedness in speech, without concealment. It means to be free and fearless, to be incredibly confident. It says the deportment by which one becomes conspicuous or secures publicity. Have you ever seen somebody enter the room and it's just like, they didn't say a word, but everybody's just like, everybody knew they were there. Just the way that they carried themselves is like, here I am. They didn't say a word, but just the way they carried themselves, and especially when they started speaking, whether it was with authority or whether they were they just wanted everybody to know that they were there. Maybe you have a friend that's like that. But that's the kind of boldness that we need to have when we're in prayer to the Lord. We need to come boldly into the throne of grace. We don't need to be afraid of what we're asking for. We don't need to try to hide the true motivation or the true purpose. And it says that we need to come boldly unto the throne of grace. And grace, the simplest definition of grace, is graciousness. It means that we're asking for something that we don't deserve. We need to realize that when we are asking something and God is listening to us, that the worthiness of Him answering our prayer request is not based on us. It's based on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what the preceding verses are talking about, where it says, seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens. We'll get to that in just a second. But I want to kind of skip to the end there and says, and find grace to help in time of need. This is an extremely interesting wording here. That we may obtain mercy and find grace. To obtain and to find. It means you actually have it. It's not a figment of your imagination. You actually have the help. You actually have the mercy. You obtain it and you find it. The documents that we're looking for. It's not an answer to prayer if you don't actually find it. Or if some other solution isn't found. Like if it's just all lost out there in the universe somewhere. Now, you either have it or you don't. You've obtained it or you haven't. When we were praying for a vehicle, Okay? God hasn't answered the prayer if we don't have a vehicle sitting out in the parking lot. Okay? So when we're talking about prayer, we're talking about obtaining. We're talking about having. And sometimes that means that there's a peace that comes in our heart or a grace or a help, and we'll get to that in just a second. But it means that something is decidedly there or not there. It's definite. We've obtained it or we have it. And find grace to help in time of need. This is well-timed aid. Find grace to help in time of need. Now, as I was studying this, it gave this definition specifically. It says, a rope or a chain for frapping a vessel. Now, I had no idea what it meant to frap. I don't know if a frap, I know what a frappuccino is, but I didn't know what it meant to frap a vessel. But there's actually an illustration in Scripture. Go to Acts 27. Acts 27. Now, Paul is a prisoner here. And they were leaving from a port and trying to get to Rome. Look at verse 9. Now, when much time was spent and when sailing was now dangerous because the fast was now already past. Okay, the fast meaning like the withholding of food. It was like a religious thing. Paul admonished them and said unto them, sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with much hurt and much damage. Now, it's trying to say that in many countries of the world, there's a stormy season, right? A typhoon season. We lived in Guam when I was a little kid. My brother was actually born in Guam, and they had a typhoon season. And I remember as a little kid, I was 4, 5, 6 years old. We lived there for a couple years, 3 years, and there was always a typhoon season. And we lived in a concrete house that the military provided for our family, but they also provided boards to board up the windows when a typhoon came. And I remember, I don't remember exactly how they attached because I was a little kid, but I do remember there being a typhoon coming and they would sound the siren, which was always spooky, right? And you would see the clouds start rolling in, and my dad would go to the shed and he would take all these boards out and he would board up the windows so that when things were thrown through the air, trees, coconuts, animals, cars, not all about cars, but things would go flying through the air, and that way our windows didn't get broken. It was safer for us for it to be boarded up. And there's many places in the world where there's a stormy season, and that's what he's saying. Hey, it's stormy season. We shouldn't be leaving now. And he said, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only of the lading and ship, but also of our lives. Nevertheless, the centurion believe the master and owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken of by Paul. God knows more than we know. And God was telling Paul, you shouldn't leave, but they didn't listen to him. Verse 12, and because the haven was not commodious to winter in, the more part advised to depart thence also, if by any means they might attain to Phoenice and there to winter, which is a haven of Crete and lieth toward the southwest and northwest. When the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their purpose, loosing thence, they sailed close by Crete. When God tells you something and you start doing the wrong thing, sometimes the wind blows softly and you think, oh, no, it's fine. Yeah, hold on. And that's what happens. The south wind blew softly. Look at verse 14. But not long after, there it is, there arose against it a tempestuous wind called Eurocyclodon. What a name. Verse 15. And when the wind was caught and could not bear up into the wind, we let her drive. They couldn't drive the ship. The wind was far too violent for them to be able to drive the ship. They took the sail down and they just let it go. No, man, that's not... Hey, have you ever had one of those times in your life? You ever feel like that in your life? Because we're getting to the application of the prayer promise here in just a second. It feels okay. Sometimes things come up in our life because somebody else made a wrong decision. That was Paul's situation. Sometimes it's our decision. Sometimes we're doing the right thing and a storm comes up. Sometimes somebody else makes a bad decision, like in Paul's case, and a storm comes up because of somebody else's decision. They made this decision and it affected my life in a very negative way. Verse 16, and running under a certain island, which is called Clauda, we had much work to come by the boat. And when they had taken up, they used helps. That's the same word. When it's talking about getting help in time of need. It's the same word, help. And it means ropes. Now I want you to imagine if we were on a boat. Now many of you have traveled internationally. And when we moved over to Nepal, we moved over there. Just like many of you moved here or you've moved somewhere else. But it's not like you're driving a truck, a U-Haul full of stuff, right? You're on an airplane. So there's only so much you can bring. You only get so many bags for free, which usually it's two per person, right? Or at least the airline we were on is two per person. And there's only so many kilos that can be. Hopefully it's in kilos and not pounds, because kilos kind of gives you that 4 pounds of wiggle room, right? Praise God for kilos. And but four bags. And you're thinking, we're moving over to Nepal. So we had to take stuff with us. I mean, they don't have clothing my size over there. So we had to take years worth of clothing over. And I mean, just, we're moving over there. So we took 20 bags, 22 bags, I think. Now, every item that you put in there, you think, do I really need this? Because you're paying for it. And there's only so much room on the airplane. You have to let them know in advance, I'm bringing this much baggage. Right? And that's one reason why they charge you so much, is because they want to make sure, hey, there's only so much room in the airplane. It's not like those buses over in Nepal and India and the other countries where they can throw stuff on top. You guys ever seen that? Goats. Oh yeah, man, that's a good day when you see goat on top. A bunch of goats all tied down and they're swaying, right? And their heads are tied down to the rack. It's awesome. That's the way it ought to be. Not really. But there's only so much room. So if we're on a boat, right? If we're on a ship, there's a purpose for everything on that ship. And you see this maybe back in the stern or underneath or something in a back corner somewhere. You see this extra large pile of cables or ropes. And you think, what's that for? That doesn't seem to be used. Are those extras in case something breaks? And somebody explains to you, no, those are helps. He's like, what are helps for? Well, back in Paul's day and for many years, boats and ships, they were always made out of wood. So you have the framework and then you have the planks, right? And all these planks were attached either by nails or various ways, and then they would kind of pitch it or they would put some kind of tarry stuff and make it watertight, right? But when the storm was so incredibly violent, the wind was violent and the waves were violent. We recently, months ago, we went to the beach, right? And Marcus, little bitty guy, right? He's four. And he went right down to where the waves were coming in. Well, it was pretty windy out. And the waves were still coming in pretty big when they crashed on the beach. And Marcus thinks that that he can fight the waves. And he can't. So he would, rah, right? And he'd run towards the waves and he'd come in, boom, and it hit him and he'd smack him right on the ground. And he'd get up laughing like a maniac. Right? Little kids, they're nuts. And he goes running back to the wave, whack, and it slapped him, right? Well, when it's a gigantic storm, these waves could literally rip the boat to pieces just by the force of the wave crashing on the boat. And it would start to take the ship apart board by board. The board would start to loosen with the impact and with the wind that was blowing this ship. And they couldn't control it. Hey, they couldn't get out of it. They couldn't reverse the decision. And it says in verse number 17, which when they had taken up, they used helps undergirding the ship and fearing lest they should fall into the quicksands, strake sail, and so were driven. And we being exceedingly tossed with a tempest the next day, they lighten the ship and it goes on and on and on and on and on again. They couldn't steer the ship. And these winds and these waves were starting to tear the boat apart. And so what they would do is they would take these extra cables and these extra ropes, and they would tie it to one side of the boat, and they would string it across the deck and underneath the boat and back over, and they would wrap the entire boat 6 or 7 times. And they would strain against it, and they would squeeze it all together like a giant ratchet strap or something like that, where they're just constantly just tightening it and tightening it and tightening it. Why? Why did they do that? Because if they didn't help the boat, if they didn't have those helps, it was going to fall apart. If they didn't have those helps, it was going to fall apart. They couldn't get out of the storm. Now, I want you to go back to Hebrews and look at chapter 4 again with me. And let's look at it within that context of that illustration. And I'm going to, with God's help, I want to help you understand why God doesn't seem to be answering some of your prayers. Why the storm isn't gone. You see, because for many of us, to us, God answering our prayer means the storm's gone. I mean, can't he calm a storm? Hasn't he calmed storms in the past? Hasn't he just spoken over a storm? Peace, be still. Hasn't he answered gigantic prayer requests for you or for people that you know, or maybe taken examples from history or from the Bible itself, where he's just instantly answered the prayer? But many times that's not the way it works. Many times when we pray, he's teaching us the power of grace in our life. To wrap our life with the unfailing cords of God's grace, to tighten us and to get us so that we can get through it without breaking to pieces. And it's after the storm that we've prayed and God's shown us his grace and the influence of grace on our life, that we sing with tears streaming down our face from our heart for the first time in our life, "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me." We finally begin to understand his grace. And we begin to realize that prayer is not so much God stopping the storm or reversing it back so that it never happened, or that he gives me control to be able to control this situation and control my ship. But he shows us, you have helps that you're always going to have no matter what happens. You have helps. And find grace to help in time of need. That's what it means. To find grace to help in time of need. Let's read it again, starting in verse number 14. "Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." The word grace means graciousness. It means the divine influence upon a heart and its reflection in the life. The divine influence upon a heart. What does that mean? That means if I'm in the middle of a storm and it seems like everything is breaking apart from the strain of something that I can't control. You know, there's a lot of people that turn to addictive substances because they cannot deal with the strain. What does the world do when they can't deal with the strain? The only reason we can pray and get grace is because of verse 14 and 15, is because we have a great high priest that's passed into the heavens. And if you don't know for sure that you're saved and you pray, God does answer prayer of people who are not saved. But you cannot come boldly to the throne of grace and get grace for help in time of need because you don't belong to Him. This promise is for Christians. This is something that we as Christians have that unbelievers don't have. We can have that help. We can have God's grace that wrap us a little more tightly to keep us from falling apart and to get through the storm in one piece. Because we have a great high priest. The word grace also means the merciful kindness by which God exerting His holy influence upon souls. Now, this is a very meaty definition, so I'm going to break it down a little bit. But once again, let's go back to the verse, and it says, when I have a need in my life and I'm praying about something, whether it's something that you feel for yourself or whether it's something that you see that someone else is dealing with, and God works in your heart for their situation. By the way, when we're praying for lost people, we see their true condition. We see that they're blind. We see that they're lost without hope, without God in the world. They're not just going to be okay. It's not just another truth. No, no, no. This is either the truth or it's not the truth. The truth or it's not the truth. He either rose from the dead or He didn't. This is the truth. If they don't trust Christ, they will go to hell. We understand that as Christians. So sometimes us breaking apart, so to speak, or the strain that we feel is really on the behalf of someone else who really doesn't understand their true situation. And so how does God answer our prayers sometimes? He does that by wrapping us with the cords of grace. What does that mean? That means that when we pray, God begins to influence our heart. Listen, if to us, we need to understand that prayer is not just God taking the situation away. God make it better. He makes it better sometimes by teaching you how to go through it with His grace. With His grace. 2 Corinthians, let's look at this. This is another scriptural example. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Second Corinthians 12. Let me ask you something. When you're under the strain, are you open to Him influencing your heart, or do you just want Him to fix it? That's what His grace means. When we come to the throne of grace, we're coming to the throne of His divine influence. It's not a magic wand thing. Oh, I'm going to pray and He's going to make it all better. He's going to make the storm stop. He's going to reverse time. It's all going to be nice and pretty again. And we're going to be back at port as if this never happened. No. When we pray to the throne of grace, that means we're saying, God, I'm looking for You to influence my heart with Your truth, with Your Spirit. God, I'm looking for You to influence me. Oftentimes when we're under the strain, we don't get our prayers answered because our prayers are really demanding that God does something that we want. God doesn't play that. He's the God. He's God, not us. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Right? That's us. God, I'm feeling the strain personally or on behalf of someone else, and I need Your help. What is that help? It's an influence. What does the influence do? The influence pushes me to Christ. The influence is, I'm saying, God, If the way that you're going to bring this all together and tighten this up, even though I feel the strain, is to tighten me up as a Christian and change me, I'm willing for that to happen. I'm willing to take my sails down. I'm willing to let go of the wheel. And I'm willing for you to some of the things that I may not be doing as a Christian, or maybe some things that I am doing, but God wants you to do it even more. More prayer, more Bible study, more time with God, more witnessing, more involvement in church. Every time there's a strain in our life, God is interested in changing you. No, I don't want you to change me. I just want you to fix the situation. He's not going to do that. He's always interested in you. Well, I just don't want to. Well, then prepare yourself for the storm to get even worse. To get even worse. You know why we don't like to ask for grace? Pride. We think as human beings that somehow we're strong. I want to be a strong Christian, which means I don't need to pray, which means I already know what the Bible says. I don't really need to go to church. I'm good. No, that's pride. Yeah, look, if Jesus needed to pray, and we think we don't need to, he knew that the cup that he was going to drink for us was a bitter cup. That terrible, horrible taste in medicine that we all hate. Right? Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. He had to pray to get through the cross. I'm a good Christian. I don't need to. Look. If we think that we're such a good Christian that we don't need to pray, we don't need to go to church, we don't need to do anything that Christians do, and I'm a good Christian, whew, that's what the prodigal felt like on his way to the far country. I'm good. I don't feel nothing. Yeah, okay, buddy. Hold on. Buckle up. That soft wind's blowing softly right now, isn't it? It is. Look what he says in 2 Corinthians 12. Look at verse 7. Lest I should be exalted above measure, meaning God was teaching him humility, through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh. It was given to him by God. Every storm in your life is allowed by God. Even if it's from you making the wrong choices in the past, those results, that fruit, that difficulty, that storm, that strain, still allowed by God. It's still allowed by God. The messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice that it might depart from me. That's actually really incredibly confident prayer life. God, I prayed three times. I mean, have I ever thought that before? God, I prayed three times. I mean, what's going on? What's the deal? That's what Paul's saying. What a relationship with the Lord. You know, we don't even, I mean, it's, for most of us, it's 30 times, 300 times. Finally, we're like, is prayer supposed to work or not? Right? Three times I prayed. Lord, what's going on? And he said unto me, you see that he's not taking away the thorn. What's he doing? He's wrapping him up with helps. He's wrapping him up. What's he saying? My grace is sufficient for thee. My grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Here's a couple of points. Number one, storms, strain, stress, difficulties, they're not optional. I know we hear that, but we need to realize that. Well, if I wasn't following Jesus, this wouldn't happen. And that's not true. You'd just be so far away from him, you wouldn't know where to get help. Storms are not optional. Well, if I quit coming to church, if I quit reading my Bible, by the way, I have these thoughts too. Everybody does. If I read my Bible more, it seems like my life gets worse. I've thought that within the last month. I have thought that myself. You know what I need? His grace. I don't need to stop doing good. If you're going to serve the Lord, you're signing up for storms. You're signing up for stress. You're signing up to venture out into the uncontrollable. Well, I think God wants me to raise my kids this way, or I think God wants me to do that, or I think God wants us to start a church. You know what we're doing? We're launching out into the sea, and you know what you can control on the sea? Nothing. Nothing. You can drive your little boat and make your little decisions, but when the storm comes, buddy, you better buckle up. You better have some ropes of grace nearby. And you better be willing to allow the Lord to influence you. There is a difference between praying repeatedly for God to help you with a situation and being passionately stubborn for God to fix it your way. Mm-mm. God influenced me. Let me ask you something. In your prayer life, when you feel the strain, small thing, little thing only known to you, thing everybody knows, doesn't matter. Are you open to the influence? Another way of putting that, are you open to God teaching you? Because it says here, I besought the Lord three times. And then it says, look at it, verse number 9. What are the first three words? And he said. And he said. What's God doing? He's teaching Paul something. I thought Paul was such a good Christian, he didn't need to be taught anything anymore. Yeah, that's why God allowed the thorn in his life so that he could realize, no, you need my grace. If you're going to go on and not make a shipwreck of your life, you need my grace. We need his grace. We need to be taught. God, I've got this strain. I've got this prayer request. I've got this thing in my life. Are you open to his influence? Number two, are you open to him teaching you something? Am I open to him teaching me? I'm pretty good right now. I mean, I've seen a lot of great success. God's done a lot of wonderful things. And I think I'm just going to, you know, like the karate belt thing. I think I'm just going to go on in my yellow belt now. I don't need the next belt. I don't need to graduate. I don't need to have any more education. God doesn't really need to teach me anything anymore because I'm pretty good. Oh, wow. Really? Let's look at this. Boy, this will just go on and on. Look at Hebrews 5. Look at verse 8. Hebrews 5 and verse 8. Though he were a son, and that's capital S, meaning Jesus, yet learned he obedience, not that he ever sinned, but he learned obedience. What does that mean? He grew by the things which he suffered. How did Jesus grow, humanly speaking? God allowed him to suffer some things. I need to get through this storm. Okay, that means that's the suffering part. Are you learning obedience? Yeah, that's going to affect my schedule, and I'm not really into that. Then you're still going to be in the storm and it's going to get worse and the waves are going to beat and the stress is going to get terrible and the strain is going to get horrible and some things are going to start coming apart. The boards are going to start popping and the water is going to start leaking in and you're going to end up finding yourself curled up in the bed for a couple weeks. Hello. Hey, man. I'm going to go to the LCBO and see if I can find some help in a bottle. They've got all these cannabis places out here. I'm going to go see if maybe that'll help me with my problem. Amen. Come on now. Oh, we're Christians. We would never. Oh, yeah. If we do not allow the Lord to teach us things, You cannot suffer under the strain for very long before it's either grace or a sinful choice. A sinful choice. Well, I've been tempted to do this or that or another, and my, what kind of pleasure it would bring. All the commercials say so. I'm going to go try that. That'll make me happy. I just need to, you know, kind of decompress. I just need to kind of relax. I sound like I'm from Vancouver, I know. Or we could pray and let God teach us something. You need to make this adjustment. You know this thing that you've been avoiding that I keep working on your heart to do? The storm is directly connected to that. The storm is directly connected to that. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Let me tell you something about grace and I'll be done. When we accept His grace, we realize how sweet it is. How close He is. How incredible it is. We finally begin to realize a little tiny bit. It's like as if God peeks back the curtain on the high priest that's passed into the heavens. And it means so much more to me. My faith becomes real. And when people ask me questions at work, hey, I've come boldly into the throne of grace and God has changed me with this problem. And your little doubt, your little doubtful questions about prove it to me, prove to me that there's a God. You don't know what He's done for me, friend. You don't know my storms. You don't know what I've been through. And you don't know the help that He's given me in my life. Without falling apart, without substance abuse, without sinful addictions. God's a spirit. We can't see Him. And much of the strain that we have in our life are things that we can't see either. But let me tell you something. When we go boldly into the throne of grace, He gives us the very grace and the very help that we need in that moment and in that time. And that is more proof. Amen. That is more proof. What's your proof? I didn't fall apart. What's your proof? I made it through. Hey, you got time? I mean, not saying right now. I'm just saying as an illustration. You got time? Let me start telling you my storm stories. Let me start telling you when I thought, man, I don't know if I should do this. Or God, you really want me to go out there? You really want me to do that? God, the season, I mean, I've heard the stories of what other people do when they do this. I've heard the stories, man. And here comes a storm. And you're doing everything you can. You got time, I'll sit you down. I'll give you the proof. I'll give you the proof.
Well, show me.
Here, look, here. Why don't you tell me about your storm and I'll pray for you? And you're willing to do whatever God tells you to do in your heart, and then you'll stand up and you'll say, man, I've got the proof too. It's a real thing. It's a real thing, friend. Grace is a real, tangible thing. The Bible says that we can find it and we can obtain it. It's a real thing. You can have it. But we've got to be willing to do what He says. When we pray it, and we come to the throne of grace, and we come boldly, we've got to come with a heart where we're willing to be influenced and taught, and we're willing to change. Everybody bow your heads, please, and close your eyes. He's not answering my prayers. He's just not answering my prayers. That only must happen to Pastor Corey. That almost happened to people who have been saved for 20 years.